Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Sorry for the bad start. We had no sound, and I was confused. Now we have sound. Roddy Lacid says, I refreshed, have sound. And sorry also for yesterday. Odyssey bugged. One of the rare moments where it bugs during the show and completely makes it impossible for me to stream, and so I cut the show early yesterday. How are you guys doing on the regular chat? Purple Tuna says, I believe you said once one must take people's words at face value. Nick says, is a serious political movement, and his goal is to attain real political power in the US, yet you see him as solely or primarily a content creator. Well, I don't think I've ever said that we should take everyone's words at face value. There are certain situations where face value is all you have. When you're talking about intent, when you're talking about, I believe that, you know, someone has the ultimate say on their belief, ultimately. I have no way to scan Nick's brain and understand his beliefs and whether he genuinely believes in something he says or not. So generally, you want to extend the olive branch on attributions of intent, that kind of stuff, or about facts that you don't know about. You have to grant it to, in a debate, you have to grant it to your opponent, or because you don't know, if you say something that assumes that these facts are wrong, you may get caught into, well, later, you know, after the show, he can then eventually prove to you that the facts were true, and then everything you said just falls. And so there are certain situations where you want to take someone's words, but certainly this wouldn't apply Nick's status as a personality, because ultimately it's subject to my evaluation, my beliefs. I can look at what Nick does and I can conclude he is a celebrity. He is a e-celeb, he is this or that. Or if we talk about the real political power of the USA, I can evaluate him based on what I observe. I can say, well, there has been no real effect. And it's not even my position. There has been some effects of Nick. And that's why some effects as a creator, as a cultural influence. So that would be my position, that you cannot take at face value any statement of anyone, or else you're going to believe that the earth is flat very soon. Exciting times on Twitter. I think I'm understanding what Musk is doing, and I think it's brilliant. Musk is denying most people's blue check. He's going to pressure everyone to buy the blue check, those who are celebrities and who used to have it. And he doesn't care about making a few exceptions. Because here's the thing, he's forcing the biggest stars in the world at adding him on Twitter, request him, kneeling in front of him for $8. And that is beautiful. It's beautiful that today Stephen King talked to Elon Musk, Charlie Sheen, I mean, Sheen, it's hard to say for me, Charlie Sheen, talked to Elon Musk, and he gets these celebrities to basically be begging publicly to him for a service that's worth $8. It's kind of a shame, a walk of shame that he is having them do. And from this perspective, it totally makes sense. It is much better to remove them the blue check mark and then arbitrarily wait for their little tweet begging for a free check mark. At the same time, I think that the impact of this is that now they're getting the paid check mark. So now there's no more legacy sign on it. So that way they can eventually convert to be fully paying members of Twitter. How would you know if Charlie Sheen, in 3 months from now, stopped benefiting from the Elon free, or Stephen King? How would you know? There's no more way to know, because at this point, Elon has confounded the legacy checkmarks and the new ones, and he's giving these celebrities a period of grace so they can secretly enter their credit card number and eventually pay like everyone, and no one will notice. People would assume that, all right, maybe it's still Elon paying, maybe it's them, but if they don't want to answer, you'll never know. I was commenting on Stephen King, because Stephen King got his free check mark from Elon. He's one of the, like, oops, I have lost my screen here. Let me try to restore it. There it is. I was looking at Stephen King this morning. He's one of the few, maybe 10 people on Twitter right now getting a free blue check mark from Elon Musk. And he complains still. He says, I think Mr. Musk should give my blue check to charity. I recommend the Pritula Foundation, which provides life-saving services in Ukraine. It's only $8, so perhaps Mr. Musk could add a bit more. Unbelievable, these people. They were scared that they were scared not so long ago that there would be dramatic events happening to celebrities. They would get impersonated. There would be chaos on Twitter. Please, Elon, don't do this. Don't do this. And now they got it. And it's like, oh, you should give it to charity. I said, in case you're looking for a definitive proof that it never truly was about the blue check mark, here it is. Now that he has it, he's willing to give it away. It's all about control. Leftists are pissed they have lost control of Twitter. They can't take the free internet. The past state of blue check mark distribution was about control, and what Stephen King is doing here is about control. Stephen King is asking the richest man on earth, whose seconds, maybe a second in Elon Musk time, I don't know, I haven't done the calculations, I wouldn't be surprised it's worth months for me at my salary versus his assets. He's asking Elon Musk, after Elon Musk has done an act of grace toward him, he's saying, oh, no, no, your charity is not appreciated. There's much better charity that you could do here. Spend a little more of your time caring for me. So it's all about demonstrations of control, and that's why ultimately being generous to these complaining celebrities is useless. However, the way he does it, I really appreciate. There has been a movement developing on Twitter meanwhile. Someone says, I am building a Chrome user script extension that will find and block blue checks from your timeline. Hashtag block the blue checks. I said, Twitter should just ban these people for business interference. It's already in the terms of service that your account is subject to considerations around business viability. And here it's a bunch of people who are coordinating to block the new checks. As someone was commenting on Discord earlier, on the Discord server, someone was saying the blue check, the old blue check was a status symbol. The status symbol meant that you were part of the leftist elite. And now that it has lost this value, the leftists have reverted against it. And now they want to make it an object of shame for people to have this blue check mark. I think they will fail. I think they will fail because Elon simply won't let this happen. This is the business bottom of Elon. It's what he thinks will save Twitter financially, and he's been on that way. So I don't see how Elon would let this happen on his platform. I said the trend block the blue checks illustrates a fundamental issue with how the Twitter algorithm considers the number of blocks of an account relative to its number of followers when it scores the value of your tweets. The algorithm lets your haters determine your reach, but that's contrary to basic internet cultural tradition. The internet is all about love, and it's about connecting you to the 0.0001% of the world population that agrees with you. Elon Musk should remove the block counts from the algorithm's considerations or impose a very high threshold that even the mobs won't reach, or perhaps weight different accounts blocks differently, similarly to how Community Notes seeks for consensus across different types of users before evaluating a note as helpful. Blocks could be considered unhelpful when they come from the same social network or mob. You should only be determining your success on the internet based on your followers, not on the people that dislike you, that don't want to hear about you. That is a biased way to do reach calculations for Twitter. Because there are people like me who attract much more haters than a mild personality of the center. And yet, I will end up having more pertinent things to say politically, even to someone who disagrees with me, than the centrist. The centrist will be unhelpful across the board. I will be mostly helpful to a bunch of my audience who understand my thinking, and then to my haters, I would be helpful if they could listen to what I have to say. Purple Tuna says, I wish Odyssey would improve their search engine. It seems to not be unable to figure out I'm searching for Red Pill Gang TV when I type with spaces. Yeah, search engines, we have the big problem on the internet that still as of today, the Google algorithm is superior. Has been superior. Now, the algorithm itself is superior. However, what they've done with Google is they've attacked it so much after the processing of the algorithm that basically the performance of the Google website at this point is lesser. But still, they know what you want. It's just that they won't give it to you. But we still have the problem that alternative websites have never figured out the whole thing of artificial intelligence, probabilistic calculations aimed at satisfying the searcher, the customer. Most of them, they still use very basic, very primitive forms of word associations, and this word looks like this word and gives you a score. Not a good way. The right way to do this is AI. It's machine learning. And unfortunately, it's a big cost to develop a machine learning program for anything. I'm not surprised that those small alternative websites, they just don't have the budget. I mean, you have to have a bunch of programmers, throw them on a quest of creating a black box system, having a lot of computational power to feed this black box first so that it gets through iterations and it learns. That is exactly what Twitter does. It's what Google does with the search. It's what Twitter does with the tweet rank. And it's what you have to do to satisfy a human user of the internet. But it's costly. Charlie Sheen was saying this morning, Dear Elon Musk, I'm sorry your fancy rocket exploded in spectacular fashion. I'm certain you'll build an even bigger and more explodey one. Now, may I please have my blue check back? It would mean a lot to me. Thank you in advance. Sincerely, Charlie Sheen. And I said, do the base thing, Charlie. Pay the $8 a month. Wasn't it Charlie Sheen who had lost his mind and was getting bad coverage on the media? I don't remember what kind of crazy things he may have said. Didn't he do like Mel Gibson, or am I confused here? It seemed that Charlie Sheen has gotten some based coverage in my memory, but I can't remember exactly what he had said. Rodi Asid says he has tiger blood. Tiger blood, was that his comment? Anyways, he would be one that I would expect is willing to pay the freaking $8. But eventually, during the day, things changed. And Elon Musk gave him his blue check mark back for free. Elon paid for him. So Charlie Sheen back with a check mark, actor, dad, world champion, air guitarist. John Drake says, it is worse. The algorithm is so rigged that it doesn't work nearly as good as it did 10 years ago. Yeah, I mean, but they still have the algorithm would be able to know what you want. They block these things at the output level, you know. But I'm sure, like, if you type 4chan on Google, they will never send you a link to 4chan poll, you know. But I'm pretty sure that the algorithm knows that it's what you want. I'm sure that they haven't gone internally to change the black box inside. That's what I mean. They change the output, but the algorithm still performs as it's still the best algorithm out there. It's just that you don't see its talent. The same way you don't see the edgy responses that ChatGPT could give you. Neon Blacksmith says, doesn't Charlie Sheen have HIV? I have. Oh, yeah. So it was HIV and drugs. Yeah, that kind of coverage. But I've seen this, I guess, in those tabloids at the grocery store. So I have no idea if it's true. But yeah, he's one of the guys who got targeted by a lot of this smear coverage. Meanwhile, another Christmas gift of sort, and Elon Musk has bragged about this and has said checkmate. The New York Times gets a golden check. Now, the New York Times was saying we will not pay for a checkmark. But Elon changed the business rules on Twitter because the checkmark for the golden checkmark is $1,000 a month. $1,000 a month. Small businesses cannot afford this. It is ridiculous. But big businesses like the New York Times, it's probably nothing for them. So Elon Musk was asking $1,000 a month to the New York Times. The New York Times says, we won't do it. And that had created a lot of staring on Twitter. Now, Elon Musk changed the rules such that if you spend $1,000 worth of money in publicity on Twitter per month, and I don't know how he does the calculation. Is it an average over the last year or is it this month? I don't know. But if you spend more than $1,000 per month on average, you get the golden check mark for free. So basically, Elon is saying, I'm going to drain $1,000 from you, whether you want to buy it through the buying the check mark or buy my ads, you're going to send me $1,000 per month. And so no one knows, is it the case that New York Times is paying a price per month for it? Or is it the case that they got it for free because they make so much spends on Twitter ads? In any case, they are paying Elon and they are getting a check mark for it. So Elon retweeted a meme in response to this, the milk drinking pornographic milk. Twitter limits advertising to verified organizations only. Checkmate New York Times. So Twitter is feeding the golden check to New York Times by force because the New York Times apparently, and this is something that perhaps Elon knew from behind the scenes, the New York Times must be spending a lot on publicity. That's how they get subscribers. So the New York Times relies on an acquisition of subscriber model, and they have no way to get people memeing about their articles if it's all under a paywall. And so what do? Well, they pay for advertisements so that they can acquire viewers, acquire readers. So basically, Elon created a checkmate situation where if you don't have the golden checkmark anyway, you can't buy ads. Now, it's not the golden, actually. It's you either need the golden or the blue checkmark to buy ads. That's my understanding. And Elon even tweeted about this and said, checkmate. And Jan Malmström is speculating The New York Times bought the business verification, didn't they? It would seem that they did. Or they got it for free, but it would seem that they did. So my final comments on this whole Twitter storm. Elon is a genius. He's paying Twitter Blue for a few months for any celebrity that complains. Then they'll register their credit card and they can seamlessly start paying without anyone knowing. Without public statements, people will assume it's still Elon paying, so they can still pose as principled in front of their leftist circles and won't be accused of funding Elon's free speech enterprise. The hoops we have to go through for these people, though? That is the situation we're facing. Elon is finding indirect ways to force people down the drain of paying him one way or another. And he got the New York Times, and he's going to get Charlie Sheen, and he's going to get eventually perhaps Stephen King. Beautiful work here. Silver Spider says, "Hey, Jeff, you said it is a waste of energy to stop other people from becoming trans. But don't leftists always win because they believe everything can be bent to their will and expend energy towards making those changes to benefit their side? I am between right-wing and libertarianism on this." Well, no. The leftists, they only win short-term based on this strategy, because the leftists definitely spend more energy than they should at winning. I mean, look at what they've done during the censorship era of the internet. People will remember this. People will hate them forever for it. There are people like me who will retain it until they are deaf. This is what they've done to us. And so definitely the leftists are overspending their efforts. They are overspending in a typical biological framing of the issue. And we talk about these things in birds and insects and frogs. The leftists are the perfect example of a species that starts investing way too much on a losing race instead of investing on eggs and sperm. That's always what it boils down to. Richard Dawkins was very clear about the this in The Selfish Gene. Basically, it boils down to this. There's a limit to the passation to the next generation of copies of your genes and anything else. And there's a trade-off in between this and anything else. And the leftists, definitely with this whole war against reproduction, they are hurting themselves much more than they are hurting conservative families. It's not that they don't succeed. It's not that they succeed zero at penetrating a conservative family. They succeed to a certain extent. But every time they succeed, they acquire a member of leftism that eventually doesn't reproduce. And down the line, generations down the line, they fail. So that's the whole idea. The conservative strategy wins over evolutionary times. The cultural strategy, pressure strategy of the leftists can win within a generation. Very rarely will any of the momentum that the leftists acquire in society, you'll never see it last more than 20, 40 years. I mean, think about the whole union fights of the 1930s, 1940s. I'm thinking in Quebec here, but I'm sure there's equivalents in the US. This momentum that unionization had then has been unequaled since. I mean, there were people dying in strikes. There were people dying because the workers were ready to face the police armed. Consider the gay right combats of the 80s and 90s. They've accomplished their gay marriage. Now, gay civil rights, do you hear about it at all? Not very much. So their movements have an expiry in time because they don't care about the sustainability. Now, they will acquire rights that they will preserve, certainly. The progresses that they make is not all lost, but their momentum cannot be maintained because they don't have a mechanism to make it sustainable over the long run. And when I look at unions in Quebec, for example, still very powerful, but a bunch of extremely lazy employees who live under basically a system of parasitism, where the unions basically charge part of your increase of salary that you obtain from being represented by them goes into the treasury of the union itself. So the leftist is always faced with the fact that they leave too many doors open to parasitism, and eventually down the line, this parasitism exhausts your culture. And that's why leftists don't maintain a momentum over intergenerational times, whereas if you look at the conservative strategy, the momentum of religion sustained across generations, so much so that most people believe in God. The momentum of breeding, sustained. Breeding, reproduction is still higher in conservatives today than in atheists today and liberals. And as far as I know, it's been like this forever. Although there may not, like 100 years ago, it's actually hard to have that on atheists or even liberals, because what's a liberal 100 years ago? But I wouldn't be surprised that this has been going on since the dawn of time, that the behavioral correlates of conservatism were associated with more successful breeding. So that is the difference between caring about a system that is fit to sustain and a system that is not. All leftist systems are unfit to sustain in the long run. That is my thesis. Milo canceled his appearance on Tim Pool. Tim Pool must be pretty pissed because it would appear that Milo took the plane offered by Tim Pool, but then at the airport, started feeling bad, as most of you know. But that makes me familiar now with a disorder that I didn't know Milo had, which is very similar to what I had, except for me it's not a lifelong thing. You remember when I was interviewing Richard Spencer and I started seeing flashes of light? It was an ocular migraine. And I had to put sunglasses inside the studio because I was just I was seeing light and it was very uncomfortable. And I learned a little bit about ocular migraines, and basically it's a lack of blood pressure in your retina for a moment, and basically that's how your eye reacts when it doesn't have quite the blood pressure that it would want. And it can be caused by exposure to too much light. Now, it seems that Milo has a version of this, but unlike me, which I experienced this twice here in the studio, Milo seems to have been experiencing this forever. He says, as most of you know, I have been struggling with a degenerative eye condition for most of my life. I don't just wear sunglasses in studio to look cool. Often, I cannot function without them, as I get agonizing headaches, foggy and double vision, migraines, dizziness, and nausea. The effects can be unpredictable. I barely got through a debate recently because the stage lights gave me so much trouble. Lately, the deterioration in my vision has been accelerating, and today, since the early hours of the morning, I've been in agony and struggling to see clearly. There's no possible way I could have made it through an airport unassisted. So at 10 a.m. this morning, I reluctantly let Tim Pool's team know I wasn't going to make it for the show tonight. Okay, now that I read the statement, it wasn't at the airport. He was saying I would have had difficulty to go through the airport. So it seems that Milo canceling a Tim Pool appearance. Very interesting to know. I didn't know at all that he was wearing these sunglasses for for the per. It did look to me like he was wearing these sunglasses to look cool. But I understand, having suffered from a very partial equivalent to what he has, I understand that it's very debilitating. Personally, it wasn't hurting me enough that I couldn't perform. I could continue a debate, but it's a debate with a flash of light that just... And it does seem that for Milo, it is much worse because I experienced it as a purely ocular phenomena, purely light. But he seems to experience it as a whole head migraine, including impacts on the rest of his brain, so not just vision. So too bad. But that is why, Milo, that is why you are hetero young, so that you can make biological children young. Because you're going to be just an old gay man, eventually, Milo. And it is so sad. You are already in a degenerative direction. You are already losing your superpowers. That's why you use your 20s and your 30s to make babies. Because at this point, you'll be blind. You'll be blind. And you won't be able to be a parent, even if you converted to heterosexuality late in your life. I mean, this is not clear at all, okay? It's not clear that he even did, because he still lives with his husband, as was reminded by Nick Fuentes. But that's why you have to go fast with life. You have to use every second of fertility and functionality that you have, because eventually you won't have them. Apparently, people are saying this is Nate Diaz. This was trending this morning. Nate Diaz, the UFC fighter, would have been involved in a fight in which he... Yeah, it's fascinating what he does. He just straight out... He ends up having the other guy sleep just out of a special choke that he pulls. Okay, so it seems that this would be Nate Diaz. That's what seems to be claimed. Now, I note that this guy doesn't seem to want to fight. So we haven't seen the context of this before the fight begins, but is it possible that Nate Diaz is being overly aggressive here in a fight that doesn't need to happen? Because the first thing you want to do, especially if you're a celebrity and a fighter, avoid a public fight if you can. But of course, that's not the philosophy of pot smoking, weird acting Nate Diaz. So he wants to fight, but this guy is like, no, I don't want to fight. So the guy tries avoiding by putting his hands up. Now look at what Nate Diaz does. He's basically engaging this guy in a non-consensual fight. Now this is dangerous criminality, because a consensual fight, both sides can eventually argue in court, I was self-defending against this guy. But a guy who's truly like this, hands up, it can be physical assault, and it can be a unilateral thing eventually in court. Because the guy truly was like, I don't want to fight. And then now he's in a head hold by Nate Diaz, pressuring on the top of his back. And look at the choke that he sets up, a standing choke. So Nate Diaz now, it's hard to see on the blurry aspect of this video, but the head of the guy is down. The guy is being choked, because the inclination of his head is like this. Nate Diaz has the head of this guy below his shoulder. And look at the body of the guy still standing. So that is an extreme... Like, I can't even do it that much. That is a lot of pressure on this angle right here. The guy is being stuck like this. And there's pressure not only of the arm of Nate Diaz, but it's a pressure down. Now, blood has difficulty circulating to his head already, and we're just 1 second in. Now, we don't see this part. Nate Diaz continues the pressure down. There's two guys who are trying to help him or say stop. Now, see, the guy's head is still very inclined, Nate Diaz controlling the body. The left arm of Nate Diaz would be the one choking right now, but the right arm may apply further pressure toward the left arm. Now look at this. Look at this. This is a very compressed head. This is not a position you want to be in. Nick Diaz is choking you from between his biceps and his wrist. He is completely rolled around his neck. And on top of it, you have the spatial discomfort of being basically more than perpendicular to your own spine. The guy is now sleeping. He cannot defend anymore. He is completely unconscious. And there we go. That is a physical assault to me. It is something you cannot do. I don't know if there will be criminal consequences for Nate Diaz, but all of this being on video, I don't see how. Lendald Guntram says, what did he put on him? Some standing guillotine? I would say it looks like a standing guillotine, but normally a guillotine, you are more capable of leveraging it by angling toward the back. It seems that Nate Diaz didn't have to do this. It's normally a guillotine, you throw yourself basically with all the weight of your body toward the back. Nate Diaz here did more like a side choke standing. That's how I would characterize it. However, I am not Joe Rogan. I am not the Joe Rogan imitating AI either. But my understanding would be this. Purple Tuna says, falling unconscious like that on solid asphalt or concrete can cause brain damage or even death. A fighting ring is different. It has hollow, light floor to lessen impact. Exactly. This is extremely... extremely worrying, and just the choke itself is a life risk. I mean, because a choke, you know, in controlled situation with the emergency personnel right there in a ring, they're gonna find a way to reactivate you within seconds. But left on the concrete like this, the problem is there can be positional body asphyxia for various reasons, like you've just got one of your blood vessels super compressed. Sometimes they can stay compressed because the tissue has been reorganized in your neck and keeps the pressure in even if the arm of Nate Diaz is removed. And yes, there are potential for brain damage with the impact itself. Totally agree. If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Alternatively, feel free to use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. And if you want to send super chats through Odyssey, make sure you add a payment method in your account. Supreme Court restores full availability of abortion pill in shadow docket ruling. On Friday night, the Supreme Court ordered the abortion pill mifepristone to continue to be made available to women by mail as challenges continue to be litigated in lower courts. So we have a special... this is a special situation where a state wants to say, hey, healthcare is our responsibility, and it is. And we want to make this medication for abortion, basically, illegal. And now you have the federal government saying, well, the mail is a federal responsibility. The FDA is a federal responsibility. And so we can make this abortion pill declared safe by the FDA federally. And we can mail it to you federally because we are, you know, the Constitution is very clear about this. The federal government does the mail. It is freaking hilarious, in my view, that it boils down to this. We're going to make abortions through the mail. because the Constitution says the mail is our absolute responsibility. It is fascinating that we've reached this point. I mean, tell that to the founding fathers. Like, bring back one of these guys, I don't know, through time travel or something, and start explaining to him that the fact that he is allowing the federal government to control the mail will eventually lead to a interstate conflict because a state wants to live in a certain way, but the federal government will try invading their woman through the mail. It is absolutely fascinating. I hope that this continues in line with the recent decision on abortion on Roe v. Wade. I hope that the justices decide to go full state liberty and state capability to say we will live differently from the rest of the U.S. Because we had states that have decided that vaccines would be necessary in certain situations, that masks have been necessary in certain situations. Why couldn't a state decide that something that the FDA says is good? Why couldn't it be bad in some states? I mean, after all, the leftists have been determining what is good and bad in healthcare and education for a long, long time. So why is it that every time it's a Republican preference, that somehow they can't decide that something is bad? There are things that are decided as bad or good by leftist teachers in schools, by leftist healthcare personnel in hospitals. Why wouldn't it be the case that right-wing states can also decide what is good in their view in society? French protesters build concrete walls to block a highway following President Macron's pension reform law. So still protesting in relation to a higher age for the beginning of the pension and diminishing of advantages. The French people are just building a wall. They are using those maçons, those guys who are laying bricks. And they are building a wall so that a highway will be unusable. But I'm looking at your wall, bro, and it's going to be relatively easy to undermine this wall. But I guess it's going to get them a couple of hours or maybe days. Avec les maçons, et tous, avec les maçons. All right, the French do have, yeah, there's no foundation. So if you don't make foundations, these walls can be blown away with a hammer, really. You take a big hammer and you start just making them crumble. Cement like this or concrete is not something that resists just mild impacts thrown by a human hand. Treebeard says, my friend I went to school with him is destroyed. A man is murdered. He is in jail for a word on a drunken night. The whole thing is a joke. So it's not clear to me. Is your friend the murderer? Is your friend the one who said a word, or is your friend the guy who killed someone in response to a word on a drunken night? In any case, it's never good to be drunk. It's never good to be exposed to the public. Never good to be hanging in those places where these kinds of situations could happen. Avoid trouble. Don't get into night fights like this or situations of conflict. Drive away from civilization and live there. Treebeard says, my friend is Iranian who murdered a guy in response to a racist word. Well, that is very sad, but in the end, you say the whole thing is a joke. The problem is it's a joke that he behaved that way in response to speech. It's a joke that he he committed a murder, but he should be punished for that murder. Definitely. He should be punished strong, because you cannot punish speech with violence. That is a first rule. You can only punish a speech with speech. And, you know, a racist comment is nothing else than the expression of someone's opinion. It doesn't even rise to the status of defamation. But yeah, I do see a lot of stories on the media, on social media. You see a lot of videos like this, where racist attacks are being used as excuses to initiate physical violence. And you even see leftists cheering these things. But it's nonsense. Nonsense. You are the initiator of violence when, in response to an opinion expressed, you escalate this into a physical conflict and hurt the person for their opinion. Elon Musk was being pretty base this morning, and I thought I would reward this by encouraging him in the right direction. In response to someone describing the top 10 largest countries by population, India, China, USA, Indonesia, Pakistan, Nigeria, Brazil, Bangladesh, Elon Musk said, "Demographics is destiny." That is as base a statement as I've ever heard a CEO say. Now, Elon Musk is never as clear as I would want him to be on these subjects of demographics. But you have to grant him, there's not a single CEO of big tech who will say this. Demographics is destiny? Are you kidding me? It's almost a white supremacist slogan. it could make it to the ADL website at this point. So I said, that's why it's important, Elon, that you adjust your message. You've been saying that diminishing birth rates are a problem for global population, but the problem isn't at the global level. The problem is in the differential birth rate of different demographic groups. And I was referring, a lot of times you'll hear Elon says, we need to fix the demographics problem. And then you'll get leftist journalists push back and say, well, the world population keeps growing. So there's no birth rate issue, it would seem. And Elon, instead of going into the detail and educating people on this, Elon is pushing back by saying, well, if you look closely, there is a birth rate problem. So he's being intentionally obfuscating here. The people is entitled to clear communication and the truth, you know? And I understand why he does this. The guy has Tesla factories in Germany. I mean, if he said anything more than this, he might very well be unable to visit his Tesla factory ever again, and they may even ban it. But still, you have to use at some point the freedom afforded by your wealth. You have to use it to make a stand for the truth. And the truth about Elon, when he says there is a birth rate problem if you look closely, the truth is he's conscious of the demographics issue that is differential across groups. That is, he is conscious that we are in a diminishing white population and a white minority on planet Earth, and that's a problem. But it's a problem also that he can't say it. And I wish that within the next years, I hope, that slowly, by interacting with Elon, I'm his subscriber, so whenever I tweet a reply to his tweets like this, my name is highlighted as subscriber to Elon Musk. And on top of it, I have the blue check mark, so he knows I'm sending money to him. I hope that I can open the heart of Elon Musk to understanding that it's not enough to be conscious of the truth privately. You have a duty, especially as someone who has so much wealth. Like, I have maybe, 1 million times less money than Elon Musk, maybe a billion times less money, I don't know. But I have much, much less money than Elon Musk, and yet I have self-sacrificed a lot of opportunities, a lot of possibilities to get more money so that I could stick to the truth. Elon can definitely afford to stick to the truth as much as I do, because I've been living free since I've made this decision. He can do it at a fraction of the cost, at a fraction of his full wealth. Silver Spider says, just don't get banned, JF. Well, I think it's time for a discussion. We've been destigmatizing this subject, so much so that the new generation is rising, having, you know, watched my YouTube videos and Nick Fuentes content. The new generation is rising without a taboo for this subject, and we must talk about it. There is what appears to be a genocidal context against white people, so much so that I don't know that there will be a single country left with a white majority in 100 years from now. If the current trends are maintained, who knows? That is a big problem. Talking about demographics, I have published a video today, a 3D PCA graph, and it comes from the Telegram account of Tooltide. I referred to Tooltide as he, but people are saying to me that Tooltide may be a girl. I don't know. In any case, Tooltide, I follow their Telegram account, and they have published the full data set of PCA that can be expressed in a 3D space, the full variance across humanity from Africans and within African distinctions to Turk, Jewish, European, East Asian, Caucasian. So this is as detailed of a PCA data set as I've ever been given raw like this. And I was able to generate a little video explaining what's interesting there. Maybe I can play it. Hey guys, a quick video. I just wanted to show you some data that was shared by Tooltide on his Telegram. It's a PCA in 3D, which allows you to see the distinction between so many genetic groups. It's very beautiful. You can see the distinction between groups within Africa on this line. So you have North African being the closest to the Europeans here. Then you get further and further, and you get more genetic distance with East African, West African, Pygmies, Croissant. This graph helps understand that, you know, people who say there's more variability within a race than across the races, they make the fallacy of thinking that because the distance is great within African groups, that it means there is no distinction between whites and Africans, when there is, in fact. The fact that more difference exists here is irrelevant to separate this cluster of people from this cluster of people. The fact that East Africans exist, or if they didn't exist, wouldn't change any of the difference between the African Horn and the North Africans with the Europeans. So then we can get into the distinction between Europeans and Jews here very clear. Europeans standing in orange and Jews in red. Jews overlap more with Turkish and Iranic population and Middle Eastern populations. And then we get into the extension that leads to the distinction eventually toward East Asians here. The East Asians, you can see them here, Southeast Asians, and then you have the Amerindians here. Beautiful graph. Thank you so much to Tultide for sharing this. And interestingly, the Madagascar population, standing completely outside the classifications of the other, probably genetically distinct enough from Africans to qualify as middle ground between different populations. Beautiful. Thank you, Tultide. All right. That was beautiful data. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed digging into it. Covey Killer Clown sends a super chat. He says, no longer boys to men, but boys to girls. In the future world, turn the upside down, inside out to win the culture war. I'm not sure exactly what you mean there. Do you mean embrace the trans ideology to own the libs? I'm not sure what you mean. I'm sure you don't mean this, but it seems that this is what you're stating. If I read your words, you're saying turn boys to girls in the future world. Or are you saying we start talking about boys as girls and girls as boys? It seems like I can't possibly think that this is your opinion. So I'm not sure what you what you mean. James says, chop your dick off to own the libs, lol. It does sound like it. Purple Tuna says, does the fact that Europeans are at the edge / corner of that graph tell us anything? No, because it's not a graph that keeps order in the ancestry structure. It's merely a graph that seeks all differences, and it may mean something, but it doesn't mean you cannot interpret it as a phylogenetic relationship. So what it may mean is that whites may have stemmed from a combined nexus and have then distinguished themselves in an isolated area. So when you look at these lines that are continuous, you can see certainly that there are subgroups that are in between. You can definitely see that North Africans are in between the Europeans and the rest of the Africans. This makes sense. Now, you cannot say that they were in between phylogenetically, but it's very likely that there's a truth that's phylogenetic that ends up out of random. Not out of random, but that ends up without being a certain outcome of a PC analysis. It's a likely outcome of a PC analysis that it will reproduce the lines of ancestry in a kind of probabilistic manner. Now, as far as the Europeans being in that spot, it's very interesting. What it may imply are various considerations. For instance, it may be the case that the Europeans, because there's not enough variability within the group, they end up, you know, spreading them on a line becomes uninteresting for the algorithm, if you will, because the PCA is trying to spread things. But if you tell me that you have 15 samples of Europeans, but then you have 60 samples of Africans, and Africa is big like this, whereas Europe is big like this, when you go at the border of Europe, there is much continuum with the other races. You have the Turkish direction, you have the Jewish direction, you have the North African direction. All of these things taken together can result in Europeans accumulating in that little nexus, kind of as kind of a peak of a direction of distinction, which makes total sense. You know, the big nexus clearly is Middle East. So Middle East is this big nexus that links all the races. So it links the line to Africa, and it links into the continuum towards Southeast Asia. And Europeans are kind of not directly in this Turkish Middle Eastern nexus. They are kind of taking a direction of their own, but not as much as Africans. Why? Probably because their distanciation from the Middle Eastern nexus is more recent. Whereas the distinction between the sub-Saharan African and the Middle Eastern nexus dates back a long time ago. That is probably what explains this. Basically, if you had continued Europe with only white people for 100,000 years, you might have a white line developing, just like the African line, where there would be specialization. Perhaps the whites of Sweden would have taken a different direction from the whites of France genetically. It takes more time for this to happen. Treebeard says, are we out of Africa then? I mean, there's people contesting this, but personally, I have never seen data that was forcing the out of Africa theory to be false. I've seen some people challenge out of Africa on wrong bases. I've seen bad arguments. I've seen people who seem to think that because there are Neanderthals, because we have a Neanderthal component, we come from Neanderthal. But the thing is, you still have to explain the common genes that Homo sapiens has. And so you either have a theory in which Africa was colonized by Homo sapiens coming from outside of Africa, or you have a hypothesis where Europe and Asia were colonized by Homo sapiens coming out of Africa. So it's either out of Africa or in Africa. There's no other choice. And it has to be this hypothesis has to be built around around the genes that we attribute to Homo sapiens, the genes that all of humanity shares that Neanderthal didn't have. And I've never seen a convincing case on the opponents of out of Africa. Most of the time, what I see is they want to suggest changes to the dates, changes to the concept, changes to the tree structure. But fundamentally, I've never seen an argument that Homo sapiens came into Africa. So if you can't give me this, I'm still sticking to out of Africa. Purple Tuna says, does that graph show Europeans are the most close to everyone else on average? Maybe that's why Europeans are the most popular on average on a global scale. Very few groups consider marrying as white a problematic behavior. No, definitely not. If there's a group in this graph that would be closest to everyone, it would be those groups at the center. So much more in the Middle East, South Asian, or even Asian, between Asia and the between Southeast Asia and the Middle East, those would be the ones with the least distance. Because if you're at the extreme of this graph, there's more distance between you and the sum of all other points than if you're at the center. So definitely not. Europeans are distinguished. They are just not as spread and diverse within the European race as Africans, which is totally to be expected if Africa has a longer history of developing genetic nuclei. Ukraine planned attacks on Russian forces in Syria. Kiev's military intelligence agency believed it could carry out attacks on Russian soldiers and Wagner Group forces in Syria. So Ukraine trying to be like America. It's freaking hilarious. T.S. Apostolos says, JF, did that woman debunk TRP yet? No. I will keep you guys updated when she does, but I don't want to be too negative about this woman, because I want to be welcoming to someone who says, I'm taking your theory seriously enough to write a rebuttal. But I can't help. I mean, I'm a public commentator and I have an opinion. She's pretty fucking stupid. I'll just say this. I don't want to bash on her. But she is interacting with me in DMs, and her counters she better have better counters when she writes the article, because she's trying to test me on some of her counters that come to her mind. She's not very intelligent. She misunderstands a lot of things about evolutionary theory. And we're not even talking about the revolutionary phenotype that much. It's like she doesn't understand Dawkins. She doesn't understand what's gene-centric view and what are the weaknesses. And she thinks that there are all sorts of weaknesses that are not true. But she's trying. So it's like, can a mentally retarded person who's trying really, really hard come to an interesting text? Maybe. Maybe. I'm all for being opened to the world, and I hope that she does the best that she can do. I want her to succeed in writing a text, but it's not going to be, I can already tell, it's not going to be a successful debunk of the revolutionary phenotype. Kovi Killer Clown says, Jeff, what I meant in that verse is the left is forcing trans nonsense, and we are in the upside down with all these leftist backwards ways, and we need to turn the world back around. Okay, now it's clearer. Thank you for specifying. Blanket says, Jeff, what do you think about what happened with Odyssey and the DDoS attack? I'm not aware of any DDoS attack. Was it a DDoS attack yesterday? I've not been following this. I have no clue. It's the FBI that is blocking the release of the Nashville Trans Shooters Manifesto. Of course, the federal force of leftism, FBI, is behind the delay of the manifesto's release. Representative Tim Burchett told the New York Post he knew the FBI was behind the delay, saying the news was disappointing. So the reason we don't have access to this manifesto yet, and I can't wait to make a show about it, I'm sure it will come out one day. It's very hard to keep that secret forever. So I want to explore this, and I'm pretty sure it's leftist terrorism. That's why they, why would they, like, if it was some kind of furry terrorism, some ridiculous, mental patient type of craziness, they wouldn't mind releasing it. So I'm pretty sure it's leftist terrorism, perhaps even specifically anti-Christian, you know. So I want to see this. I want to explore the mind of this shooter. Blanket says, yeah, it was Jeff. It was pretty sad what happened yesterday, but it seems like everything is okay now. Okay, so a DDoS. Well, you know, at this point, the standard to escape DDoS is to be on Cloudflare. So Cloudflare is, and my website is on Cloudflare, which is why, you know, you can download my MP3s and I'm protected against attacks. Cloudflare is the gold standard of the new web. I cannot speak positively enough about them. I'm totally floored by the evolution that Cloudflare is for the internet. They have taken the internet and they've softwareized it. They have added a layer to the internet, a layer that I never thought would be born, but it is born. A layer of, we're not going to do DNS like every other people. We're going to build over it. We're going to emulate. We're going to reverse proxy your stuff. Treebeard says, Cloudflare censors, though. I mean, they censor, like, you're talking about the Daily Stormer case. I mean, they have censored one or two websites in their history, like for censorship reasons. And they published blog posts about it, about how they felt bad about it. So if you feel bad about banning the Daily Stormer, you're my boy. You're my guy. because I wouldn't feel bad about deleting the Daily Stormer. It's like trollish content, hate speech, and it's like not productive at all. And the reason back then that Cloudflare had been indicating in their blog post is the Daily the Daily Stormer had started making false claim about Cloudflare, saying, hey, look, Cloudflare is supporting the Nazi movement. And Cloudflare was like, well, we can't let this go. Personally, I don't take issue with the censorship of Daily Stormer. I just don't give a shit. I might take issue if a government did it, like by force. But a private company offering a service like this, it's like you're not entitled to that service, right? So I'm totally confident in Cloudflare. It is the gold standard if you want to protect your website against DDoS, and my website has been hosted by my computer right there, backyard internet style. I bought this computer at like Best Buy or something like this, and I set it up as a Linux server, and I've been happy since. Let me tell you, on fiber optics cable, and passing through a reverse proxy on Cloudflare, I have never had a case of people finding me. I have never had a case of people locating physically my server, because Cloudflare does this. Cloudflare is your it's your condom to the world. It's your internet condom. Reverse proxy is a genius invention. Genius. Absolutely beautiful. And they also handle DDoS. So, very much respect, and I would say perhaps Odyssey doesn't use Cloudflare. I mean, it gets harder technically if you are a streaming platform. Perhaps it's much harder and much more costly to use something like this, but it's possible to have equivalents, certainly. Big Tech Exodus says, Cloudflare praise is making me sad. Join the revolution, Big Tech Exodus. Join the Cloudflare gang. What's up, bro? We're 40% of the internet traffic at this point. What are you gonna do, bro? Airman's leaks started just 48 hours after Russia invaded Ukraine. So apparently this guy had been leaking for a long time. It's just that it caught up recently and it attracted a lot of attention, but he had been leaking secrets for a long time. The tower for Twitter. UK minister calls for jailing social media bosses who do not censor speech. See, that's the big problem for Elon. It's that Elon, it's very important that he be able to still circulate without being a pariah and a persona non grata in various countries, because he owns a lot of property, a lot of his assets in these countries, and basically these countries are holding him by the balls. Now, this is clearly aimed, this is a Elon Musk law that they're talking about. The UK, well, the law doesn't exist, but it's like he wants it to happen. It's a minister who wants to be able to jail Elon Musk. It's becoming extremely dangerous. Bud Light marketing executive goes on leave after a disastrous trans TikTok stunt. They have made an abrupt decision to change the marketing leadership of Bud Light just 3 weeks after the brand attempted to position itself as the queen of woke beers with the help of a transgender TikTok influencer partnership. It's so funny to see Budweiser in trouble after these ridiculous series of ads. And here, this girl is still smiling, I'm sure. I mean, I'm sure this is an old picture, but I'm sure she's still smiling because she's accomplished what she wanted to do. this is what those leftist marketers do. They want to change the world. They want to be retained for how they change the world. And I'm sure that she has a cognitive justification in her head where she says, you know, it's going to be okay in 6 months from now. Budweiser will come back in glory, and then people can thank me that I've adjusted their brand for the new millennium. Something like this. I'm sure she thinks that way. That long term, it's going to pay off somehow. Somehow it's going to pay off. That you have to pay a little price for the purpose of doing good marketing. Hopefully the new marketing team can do like a full-throated apology type of route. I think it's the only thing that can save them. Chuck Garrity says, it's hilarious watching these big companies make jackasses of themselves. Yeah, it's unbelievable that a company of this value wouldn't be more involved in, hey, what are the risks here? You have to have someone like me. I mean, I'm consulting companies and I'm writing, I'm writing various reports of evaluation, like, oh, this is how dangerous it is, and oh, this is how hard it gets if you get into this. This is going to be your expenses, and I mean, Bud could totally benefit from my services at ridiculously cheap prices compared to the amount of billions they lose when they fuck up like this. It's like, why don't you hire Papa JF? At a couple $100, I would have told them. I would have told them the route that they're taking. Great Hype says, JF, this is a breakthrough. Well, that's just your opinion, bro. Let me consult the article on PubMed. Reopening windows, manipulating critical periods for brain development. The brain acquired, that's a 2012 article in Cerebrum. This, the brain acquires certain skills from visual perception to language during critical windows, specific times in early life when the brain is actively shaped by environmental input. Scientists like Takao Hench are now discovering pathways in animal models through which these windows might be reopened in adults, thus reawakening a brain's youth-like plasticity. Such research has implication for brain injury repair, sensory recovery, and neurodevelopmental disorder treatment. In addition, what we know today about these critical windows of development already has enormous implication for social and educational policy. Is this a meme? Are you sending me this seriously? Or is this a meme around the fact that they talk about early life? Like, I'm trying to reread this article in my head with the idea of early life. It's like windows of development. What happens in your early life matters a lot. Like, your early life determines what happens after. Your early life will determine the kinds of positions you adopt on the Muslim question, on the whites question. It all revolves around the early life. And now scientists are starting to understand the effect of early life on your later political positioning. And they have ways to reawaken these early life effects. Is that the meme? Is that why you're sending me this? Or you're sending me this as because you think honestly that this is some kind of scientific discovery? It's not. It's just a regular academic article. And a last news item, the AI grift is real. Exclusive lawmaker with PhD in AI warns about technology's real danger. It's not killer robots. A PhD in AI. There's so, and I'm, it's not the fault of this guy, okay? I'm not even mocking this guy, but we see in the last few months, people suddenly rephrasing everything they say with AI. And it's like, oh yeah, I'm an AI researcher. Oh yeah, I'm an expert in AI alignment. And this ridiculous title, a PhD in AI. By the way, on my PhD paper, giving me my grades for my courses, I have my course of specialization at the PhD level was computational neuroscience, where precisely I've been studying how to put up computerized structures of machine learning, of neural networks, of cognitive structures, and all sorts of things like this. So in a way, I have a PhD in AI. But I just wanted to laugh at the whole term and at the fact that you see so many grifters change all of their speech and rephrase it as an AI thing. Great Ape says, you don't think this is important? The question is important. But if you have... My problem is... If you haven't been thinking about these philosophical questions before the ChatGPT wave of interest, and suddenly you changed your Twitter bio after ChatGPT memetics came in and the virality of it came in, and suddenly you're like, I'm an AI alignment person, you are grifting. You are trying to surf on a wave of public interest, and I would prefer a world in which people don't grift like this, but people get genuinely interested in philosophical questions. Because I was talking about AI in 2018 when I published this. I was talking about AI and the theory of mind in 2015, in 2013. But I will not change my phrasings around this subject to gather more followers on Twitter. I will not start being like, I've been thinking about the AI alignment question for 10 years. No, it's like, those are new terms that have come up around the ChatGPT virality. But let's try to see things at a broader, from a broader perspective here. And let's not just stick to any sort of pickup trucks that passes, like Marty McFly in Back to the Future, and try to get carried by the cloud chase. Yes, Stephen Robinson, it's a cloud chase that's happening right now. Treebeard says, it's been since 70 years at least. Yeah, it's very interesting. Cognitive questions are interesting. Computer questions are interesting, but I see so much grifting, so much adjustment of speech to get that wave in, I had to call it out. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love. I'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you.